welcome to the Mega 64 podcast.
Hi, everyone.
Sorry. Main guy's not here tonight.
Sorry,
you know,
not sorry.
It's going to be a shitty show.
This has become a reoccurring theme.
See, here's what happened.
He's gone.
Here's what happened. Rocco went to the Red Dead Redemption concert in Los Angeles last night. Decided he needed to beat Red Dead again. So it's probably going to be another 50 hours before you see him. You're stuck with the B team.
I heard he's at the Oscars right now.
He went as Lady Gaga's date.
I think he's there. Yeah. Yo, dude, Steph hit him back.
Plus one, yeah.
Damn.
Is that?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, fuck.
And it ain't for Bradley. It's for Bodie.
Rocco and Lady Gaga together at the Oscars.
Yeah, that's what's happening. Rocco.
My worst nightmare.
Rocco is, he's hooking up with Lady Gaga tonight. That's the truth. That's what's actually happening.
Wow. To be a fly on that wall.
Lucky Gaga, you know, she finally got a good
lucky
guy.
Lady.
Lucky lady, as Sean says. I hope Rocco's got his poker face. Rocco's coming. Ropes on the floor.
Skeet.
You're not allowed to say skeet, man.
Can you not do that?
Do you know what skeet means?
Yeah,
I don't. Ejaculate.
It's like a jism glaze.
Well, you can't. You can. Okay.
Yeah,
coming ropes on the floor, but you can't say skeet. I just don't know the rules. They're very confusing.
Yeah, terms of service are all
Skeet's
over.
Skeet's dirty.
YouTube's changing shit.
Coming ropes is a medical term. That's like
doctors say that.
That's the difference between vagina and cunt.
Yeah,
Penis,
it's medical.
Penis
and
cock.
That could be a rooster
theme song.
I'm a lonely horse. Got my pistol. I'm just trying to be somebody besides the lonely horseman. Got my gun at my side. I'm just trying to be the lonely horseman. Lonely horseman.
So, we found out this week that there's a new YouTube monetization policy.
I saw the news.
And supposedly people can be videos can be demonetized for negative comments or potentially negative comments in the YouTube space. So anybody watching this on YouTube, I just want to say keep it positive.
Yeah.
Well, I already said in the first 30 seconds.
Yeah,
shit!
That's the YouTuber. The commenters, that's its own breed. So as long as the commenters don't say the C word.
Yeah, we're advertiser friendly.
I've heard that if you curse in the first 30 seconds, you're demonetized. And if anybody potentially says anything negative in your comment section, you will be demonetized.
Doesn't that give power to trolls who just don't like...
No, man.
No.
This gives power to the kids.
That's true.
The kids
Save
of
the
America...
Kids.
Are trying to find, you know, clean, wholesome, Christian content that they can watch with their innocent little eyes.
Right.
And there's just nothing available because people like us.
I think that everyone is going to hear what you said just now and they're going to think like, oh, I'm going to be the funny guy and type this fucking sucks.
But fuck.
But let's not go that route. Let's all just say, everyone comment on this video, say, my youth pastor will love this.
Yeah. No.
Everyone just say that. I want that to be the comment that is
I don't think I'm going to inspire anybody to say anything negative because I explicitly said, let's keep it positive.
True.
Yeah.
So if anybody out there is saying nasty stuff, that's on you.
Right.
Not on me. I was leading the way to... positivity.
True. Yeah. Positive energy.
Thank
Push
you.
And believe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I saw the news and I'm afraid to look at my personal channel.
Well, I think that if anybody
I'm afraid.
If videos can be demonetized because of potentially negative comments, just demonetize all of YouTube now.
Right?
Just end
it.
Cut
Get
the head
rid
off.
Of the comment section. That's all. That's fine.
Yeah. I'm going to Vimeo.
I don't read that anyways. So.
Oh shit. Maybe we should just disable comments on all the videos.
Oh, that happened.
They'll be rolling in the dough.
So I heard that YouTube demonetized like 50 million videos and then took the comments off of like 500 million videos.
Really?
Like just they pulled the switch.
Hey, that's fine. I don't care. Go ahead.
I don't know. I had some great comments back in the day.
I heard that.
Do you go back and relive your sweet comments from back
sometimes,
in the day?
Sometimes.
What the fuck?
I think the thing to do now, browsing. I'm pretty sure certain YouTubers are, when they'll post a video, it's a video that just explains, if you want to hear, see the real video, go to this other website. Because I'm going to be talking about, you know, sex or whatever.
Yeah, click the Pornhub description link below.
Yeah. We'll just legitimately, I think we need to start uploading to Pornhub. And then we'll just link to that from YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll monetize our Pornhub videos.
That's where the real freedom is. I said go to Vimeo, but maybe that's not. Maybe Pornhub's the way to go.
Yeah.
The comment section there is way crazier.
Yeah, you can create. Hey,
the comment section
account,
there.
Right?
Hey, I've been to Pornhub. The comments are way more positive than YouTube. YouTube is all like, you suck. You're a fucking idiot. You're wrong about this. Pornhub is like, hot. Yeah. Nice.
Who's she? What's her name? Nice. Actress name? Question mark, question hot. Mark?
Nice. I jerked off to this. Nice. It's all positivity. You write, I jerked off to this nice on YouTube. They think that's a negative thing. And that's, God, sad state of affairs. This is America. Anyways.
Welcome to the show. This is the Oscar Hub. We are so excited about the Oscars this year.
Some people jerking off right now in the
non-stop,
chat.
Non-stop.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Because they're so excited about the Oscars. Because Oscars. I don't give a fuck, and I don't know.
You
just
said Oscars twice.
Oscars, Oscars.
Dude, don't say it a third time.
Yeah.
Oscar juice will show up.
Dude, the
I'll
Oscar
get a statue.
The ghost of Oscar will haunt us.
Yeah. So I was. There's no host. Is that correct? There's no host this year.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I'm here. I'm not watching
shit.
It.
We got four hosts right here. Yeah.
Hi.
Everyone got in trouble. Who was gonna do it?
We were
they backed
busy.
Out.
Yeah. So I think there's no host.
So they just say, "All right,
Oscars,
take our ball home."
Oscars
no one
cannot
can play.
Win. Okay, personally, I think all mainstream award shows suck nowadays because they're so confused as to what they're even fucking trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they don't know who their audience is. They don't know the audience they want to get. Then all these other people yell at them for stuff, and they don't even know why they're being yelled at, but then they try to cater to it, and it's just a mess. The Grammys are the worst.
Grammys are by far the worst.
But the Oscars are, you know, also unwatchable, in my opinion.
It's all about pushing your agenda, push the platform.
Well, it just seems to me
I don't think it's about pushing an agenda. I think it's about
I think
it's about trying to get ratings and make money. You know, an award show is a celebration of an artistic form. It's like, hey, everybody who makes this thing, let's give out some awards. But then they take an award show and they put it on ABC and they run commercials on it, and suddenly handing out awards to people who work hard is fucking boring. So it's like, well, hold on. How do we get the young kids involved in this? How do we spice it up a little bit? And that is, I feel like, the motivation, and it all just snowballs from there.
Right.
Yeah, because Tide wants
a clean show. I think if you think they're pushing an agenda, I would say they're pushing an agenda for ratings. Because they want to get people to watch the show.
I think of all the award shows, the Oscars is the one that is still watched the most of all of them. But, like, I used to fucking love watching the Oscars.
Me too.
Now I just – I mean, I'm still interested.
Yeah.
Now, a documentary that I saw this week, Free Solo, won Best Documentary.
Okay.
And I was fucking excited for them.
Is that about how they made Solo?
Yeah.
Like, Star Wars
so
story.
Many Disney had their hands all over
it.
It
was him
and, like,
getting out of that Carbonite. Was it Carbonite?
Yeah.
Was it Carbonite? Podcast question of the week.
It's been a minute.
Wow,
what was Han Solo frozen in? I'll answer. It was Carbonite.
I almost said Kryptonite, but then I was like, that's definitely wrong.
Ooh,
that is wrong.
Fired.
All right. What was Free Solo about?
Free Solo.
Oh, I know what it's about.
Thank you.
So we don't need to talk about it.
Yeah.
Rock climbing, right?
No ropes.
It is. Okay, it is about rock climbing. I will say it doesn't – I love Yosemite. That's why I started watching these things. This does not matter in this context. It is the most intense documentary I've ever seen, regardless of the fact that I love Yosemite. It is so fucking scary to watch, and it is like my palms never sweat more in my life than watching this documentary. It was – awesome.
So what's it about? Is it about
climbing? This is the guy who watches Murdertown.
It's a guy who sets out. He's like, I'm going to climb El Capitan, which is 3,000 feet straight up of granite. I'm going to climb El Capitan with no ropes, no one else. I'm just going to have my chalk bag, and that is it. And so he goes out to do it. And so they do a really good job of showing you, like, okay, this whole thing is fucking impossible, but these particular five parts are the most impossible things to do. And they, like, show you, like, him practicing and, like, falling and fucking up and, like, all these things. And so when he's actually doing it, you're like, fuck, here it is. Oh, God damn it. It's that fucking part. Like, he's holding himself up, his entire body, and he's, like, 2,000 feet up with just one thumb, and it's just like, this is fucking insane. And the shots they got were amazing. Like, oh my God, it was so good.
Is it like a tight, how long? Is it like 90 minutes? Is it?
Oh, yeah, it's like 90 minutes.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
How long did it take him to climb El Capitan?
Do you want me to, I mean, is it a spoiler? I don't
know.
I'm going to guess he made it.
He made it.
I'm going to wager.
He made it. He does live.
I'm going to wager he doesn't fall off the mountain
but
and die.
Like, you know, my favorite part, I'll tell you in a second, my favorite part of the whole thing is, there's a guy on the ground filming him for the documentary, and they start filming him because he's freaking out so much that it's just him, like, he sets up the shot and goes, oh, fuck, kiss, fuck this, fuck, fuck.
Oh,
fuck.
He doesn't want to watch.
Looking because, like, his friend's about to die.
Oh, wow.
Like, I'm watching this knowing, like, yeah, I Googled it. This guy's still alive. I know that. But, like, when you're doing it, like, this guy is easily going to die.
I don't like endings like that. I prefer, like, a grizzly man type of ending.
How long did it take him to climb the mountain?
It took him 3 hours and 56 minutes to climb to the top by himself.
4 hours.
4 hours.
I was thinking it was, like, an 8 to 12 hour ordeal.
Now, it would take the average person. People spend the night up there because it takes them so long, but he's just such a – I mean, timer that he could do it in that time.
So, was there a scene where he takes a shit?
In the no,
damn.
And this, well,
and
they
gave it.
The
and they gave it the Oscar
the
for best documentary.
Didn't even bring water on this fucking trip. Like, he didn't have.
Well, I heard water's the enemy.
Oh, well, there you go.
Right?
He had.
Seriously,
yeah,
no, haven't you heard
you
that?
You will slip.
No,
Kevin,
they don't talk about that. I saw a 60 Minutes documentary episode on this guy, and he talks about climbing mountains is fine unless there's fucking water.
Oh, yeah. Because
then, like, he has to chalk his hands all the time to keep them dry. But if there's any trickle of water, it's like,
you're done.
Yeah, avoid that, like,
ooh,
everything. Yeah.
Yeah, that shit is.
But wouldn't it be awesome if he's up there and they're filming him and then all of a sudden he's, like, shimmying and, like, pulling his pants down? Like, what's he doing? What? And then just shit just
down
starts
the mountain.
Spewing.
And in the last documentary,
I
mean,
that's how I'd make a documentary.
The Valley Uprising one that's got me started on this whole kick on Netflix. That one, they do talk about guys like shit in paper bags and stuff like that, like hanging on. Like, they grab the rope and then just put the bag there and this shit.
Whoa! Now,
like,
that's a documentary.
That's like a Jackass kick.
And then 3,000 feet up, burn hole!
You can't hold it?
Hits a bear in the face.
What? I would think fight or flight would kick in and you'd be able to hold it.
No, I'm just saying, like, people do it. It takes them, like, days.
Oh, okay.
Like, 2 or 3 days, like... You're not going to hold it.
I don't know, man.
You got to shit. It doesn't matter that you're 2,500 feet up.
Listen, now I'm getting creative. Now the juices are flowing.
What are you thinking about?
A whole documentary about mountain climbers shitting on different mountains. What's it like to shit on Mount Everest? Does it freeze before it hits the ground? What's it like to shit free solo on El Capitan?
Yeah.
Do you joke? Like, no, it's El Crapitan.
Oh, yeah.
A whole K2, some shit in a volcano in Hawaii.
I also want to see, like, how does a scuba diver shit? Can you shit underwater
in
your scuba gear?
Yeah. I never thought about that. How do you shit?
I don't know. You got to be careful. It'll attract sharks.
Yeah, you have the booty flap. You repel the sharks. A great white comes at you. You're shitting your pants anyways.
Oh, it's like a
turnabout,
like,
face
bloody,
and blast him.
Yeah, can't you have bloody stool, like bloody diarrhea? That's then the hammerheads.
Then you're chumming the waters.
Right. Yeah. What are you eating?
Just Derek is would be a terrible tourist. Thanks, Otto Con. Is would be. Would be is I? Okay, so the Oscars are on right now.
Oscars are on.
So that, how you,
that
you
was
already
the,
know that one?
Yeah, because that was like
that was one of the earlier ones. So, like, what Derek was saying earlier, Oscars, like, they tried all these gimmicks to, like, make the show palatable, and then everyone kept backlashing, like, they weren't going to give cinematography on air, and finally the Oscars shut down. Fine, we're just going to give out awards. People have been tweeting, the Oscars are great this year because there's no celebrity bullshit, so they've been giving out awards pretty fast. So, like, Roma won cinematography. Free Solo won Best Documentary. That's all we saw before we went live.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what Sean knows.
The awards that they weren't going to give out miraculously had no Disney nominations in them.
Oh, weird. Interesting.
The Oscars are on ABC, which is owned by Disney, and somehow all the awards Disney was up for were in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Cinematography and editing were cut. You know, nobody gives a shit about those anyways.
No, not important.
Yeah.
But Best Animated Feature... better be Enter the Spider-Verse, right?
I mean, that's like, that's the one I enjoy the most. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what else is even up for?
It's going to be Frozen 3.
Yeah.
Whatever Disney and Pixar release always gets on.
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Oh, that was so good.
I saw that too.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Why did you see Ralph Breaks the Internet?
You
what
know,
compelled you?
When you
Gary sees like every movie.
When you date a Disney fan, you end up at the theater for all kinds of Disney films.
Yeah.
And it was all
Did
right.
you like it?
I mean, I didn't see the first one.
Oh, you were confused.
I didn't know who Ralph was. I did Vanellope sounds cute.
You know,
Sarah Silverman?
You know what I realized? Cute. Enter the Spider-Verse is a Disney movie.
Oh yeah,
because Marvel.
Oh fuck, you're right.
Yeah. So they're probably in. They
yeah,
nailed it.
That's
Wait,
a
isn't that,
guarantee.
Isn't,
it's Sony, but Sony? But technically, like Disney owns Marvel. Marvel has owns all of it, but Spider-Man is owned by Sony. It's
right.
its own fucking trick.
Same with like X-Men though, right?
Yeah, yes. X-Men's owned by Fox, but then
they
Disney's owned by Fox. Or, like whatever.
Oh, they lease it.
Jesus, it's too confusing.
Yeah,
it's so confusing.
It's a brave new world.
Who cares about the Oscars? Suck. You're watching the better show.
I used to be the kind of person like I'd watch all the Best Picture nominees because I wanted to like have my pick, and now it's like I don't. Cause there's so many of them now, and it's like I just don't care. Like this isn't for me anymore.
This year, every morning I make breakfast for myself, and I turn on the TV just to watch something while I eat. And I watch Jeopardy at night, so usually in the morning it's still on Channel 7. So Good Morning America was on, and I swear to God, 20 fucking times this year I would turn on the TV. On multiple occasions and mid-sentence, Star is Born is so good. It's so good. Did you see it? I feel like every day they were just talking about how good A Star is Born was. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. I feel like I'm living in Groundhog's Day. Every day I turn this TV on. It's like, have you seen Star is Born yet? It's good. It's really good. You should see it. And now it's nominated. Is it nominated for Best Picture?
Yeah,
it
must be. Yeah.
Is any of us has any of us seen that?
Yeah, I saw it the week it came out.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you like it?
Andrew Dice. I said this like a few podcasts ago. Right. Andrew Dice plays on it. He's the best part. The first hour, I really liked. It's really good. The second half is beat for beat. Like, okay, this is how the story's gonna go. But I thought the first hour was good.
Frank, you've seen all the movies that are nominated?
I didn't see Green Book, and I didn't.
I haven't heard of Green Book.
I think Green Book's the only one I didn't see. But yeah, like I saw like Rum when it came out.
So
it was great. Like,
if you
I don't think
I've seen any of them.
Let's do the Frank Howley prediction then.
I think Roma will win Best Picture.
Roma is gonna win. Okay.
Yeah. But again, if like I like
the
favorite too.
That was for Netflix. Correct?
Yeah, so Roma winning would be significant because it's Netflix produced,
right.
And so Netflix is something that completely fucked Hollywood up a few years ago. Like now this is a Netflix produced film, it being released on Netflix and theaters at the same time, like
right.
that messes up the whole distribution model. Also, like there's a Star is Born kind of story within the casting of Roma. The lead actress was just a random like school teacher in Mexico. Now she's nominated for like Best Actress.
Whoa.
So it's this kind of like.
Sweet.
Oh, this really small story can be so huge and representative of the world.
I don't
want to
pass judgment on Roma.
Yeah.
I watched the first half of it, and then I was like, it was getting late. I was like, okay, I'll come back. I do this sometimes with movies.
Yeah.
I finish them later. But the first half was a little bit underwhelming. Does it pick up in the second half?
Yeah, so like you kind of build into this like rhythm.
Was it a slow burn movie?
Yeah, there's like these bigger moments later on. There's like two big moments where it kind of hits you.
Okay.
Yeah, like the whole movie, it kind of just transports you to that time and place. Like it is very much an art film.
Mm-hmm.
And like the camera work moves back and forth. And you're just kind of just living it. And then the story develops. And then the second half, there's kind of these like tipping points of like political movements. Like these events happen and it. Yeah, it's
like
weird.
I love Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah, me too.
And I have nothing but respect for him.
Yeah.
But when I was watching Roma, I was kind of like waiting for it to kick in. And I was with it. I know what to expect when you're watching like an art house film.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was so much buzz around it. And I had seen maybe 60% of the film. I didn't finish it. So I'm not saying it's a bad movie. But up until that point, I was like, I feel like there's got to be more to this movie than what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Did you see The Favorite?
Yeah. And that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's The Favorite?
So The Favorite is a film that takes place in like, is it like 1600s, 1700s? It's like a lesbian Barry Lyndon.
Oh, wow.
And it's based on like a true story of
is
this.
Is that Best Picture?
The Queen,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's about a queen who has like a servant and then another person shows up and it's like the favoritism starts shifting and it drives the original person like, mad.
Who's in this movie? Anyone that I know?
What's her name? The La La Land girl, Emma Stone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Rachel Weisz, I think, is in it. It's cool. Like this filmmaker, Yorgos Lanthimos, he's a Greek filmmaker, is very like raw and like, he wants to be Kubrick, but he's developing his own kind of style and voice, but his shit is very weird. Like, this one, he didn't write it, so the dialogue is more natural, but it's got fucking super wide, you know, fisheye camera lens. There's like lesbian sex, there's violence, it's pretty crude and raw, but it's, you know, juxtaposed against this very classical, like, European, you know, Victorian era setting. But yeah, it's cool. But my whole thing with the Oscars this year is, like, none of my favorite films are nominated. Like, even last year, like, Paul Thomas Anderson, Phantom Thread, movies like people I really cared about were up for nominations. This year, Roma is great, but it's like, none of my favorites were nominated.
What was your favorite? If you could choose, what's the Frank Oscar best picture of last year?
For me, like, it's so weird because it's like none of these, but like my two favorite movies were probably Annihilation and The House That Jack Built. One's like both are nihilistic. Oh, yeah. One's like sci-fi and the other's just full on art, like serial killer. Like, it's not like a prestige film. Of everything nominated, like, yeah, Roma this year. So again, we'll see in 30 minutes, whatever it was.
What else is nominated? Is Mary Queen of Scots nominated? That's another movie about queens.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think, I don't know.
Vice was nominated.
Yeah,
Vice.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see
Black Panther.
You know, I realized a couple years ago, I used to look up to Oscar winning films and I loved the Oscars, kind of idolized them. But then it hit me a couple years ago. I was like, well, somebody pointed out that, you know, I was having a horror discussion with somebody, and they're like, you know, it's a shame that horror movies never get recognized as great movies. They're never nominated for awards or anything like that. And that kind of like shattered everything for me. I was like, you're right. They never nominate like my favorite, like my really favorite movies. They never get nominated for Oscars. It's always, you know, really kind of pretentious films or movies that make a shit ton of money.
Yeah, you got to like play the game in order to be an Oscar. Like, I think people intentionally think, I'm going to make this movie because this is an Oscar movie. Or I'm going to be in this movie because this movie is going to be nominated for an Oscar and I want to be nominated.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things.
It runs a line, but there's, like, commercial films, which, like, Black Panther, A Star is Born, is that, like, commercial. You know, there's the production value of things great. And then there's the other line where it's, like, art house stuff, which The Favorite leans into. And then and Roma. And anything in between that, like, are these prestige films. The shit, like, I like, and what Derek's talking about, like, those are, like, genre films. Yeah, like, comedies, horror, even, like, kick-ass action sci-fi. Like, that just shit doesn't get nominated.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the stuff I always like. But that's why, like, that's why I always say with my friends, like, just watch the stuff you like, celebrate the stuff you like. Right. Like, you know.
Yeah. Award shows are just really, they're kind of like popularity contests.
Yeah.
And they're really just bullshit, so.
Yeah.
Ignore
but, you know, like, that's, okay, again, like, I totally agree with you. But then the case, like, this Free Solo movie, not to keep talking about it, but, like, the people who made this were just these, like, rock climber guys, and they shot it. And, like, they're pretty good. And now they have an Oscar. And so now they can do what the fuck else now, you know? Right. So that, like, I do like it for that sense. Like, now this guy is, every door is open for this guy now. Yeah. And that's awesome.
That's how I felt about when Hustle and Flow won. I think soundtrack, 3-6 Mafia, Oscar, which just really opened the doors. For
now they're everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Juicy
J. Can't get away from 3-6 Mafia now. they just took over the globe.
It's weird, man. No host and a bunch of movies I didn't see.
And you saw a lot of movies.
And I saw a lot of movies.
Yeah. Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Garrett and I saw Widows like months ago, and that kicked ass. That was by Steve McQueen, and that didn't get nominated.
What's Widows?
Widows is a like Chicago heist film. It's a crime film where all these wives, their husbands were like into some heavy shit. They
get,
you know, like killed or taken away, but they need to get by and make money. So the wives decide to like pull off a heist. But it's Steve McQueen, which is like really fucking like brutal and it's, I don't
know, he
it's
made
just,
12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, it's just it's a really fun, but it's more of a genre. It's a crime film, and yeah, like that didn't get nominated. But yeah, like always good films. But yeah, that's why I like coming here and just talking about the stuff I did watch.
Right.
I wanted to mention I watched a show on Hulu called Pen 15. Brian and I watched this.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's kind of like last year's Eighth Grade. It's the premise of Pen 15. It's these two comedian girls who are like, they're both like 30 years old. They wrote a show about their middle school years.
Okay.
So it takes place in Y2K and they're playing themselves amongst like 13-year-old actors. Yeah. So it's just these two girls.
They look the part though.
I mean,
the haircuts and the costuming, they do a good job to make them look 13.
And so because that, oh, my mic is backwards. Okay, thank you. Perfect. Let me get this going.
Wait, we got it.
We're going to adjust the microphone real fast.
Sorry.
From what I saw, the images.
Just twist the windscreen
around. Okay, cool. All right.
Just the images of those two girls, I thought it was. Like, I don't recognize those two comedians, but it really looked like it fit.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes it work is because they're 30-year-old girls, they can get, like, raw. So there's a whole episode focused on masturbation. And it's, like, a, like, 13-year-old masturbating in the mirror.
Oh,
it's like
never. Ooh, yeah. That's demonetized.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, that's what the show deals with. And, like, you have all these really crude, raw situations. And it's really funny. Like, it's middle school, so they don't, like, pull punches. Like, kids are fucking mean and brutal. But, yeah, right. It's a good show. I liked it.
That's cool.
Ben 15.
I started watching a new show on Netflix that I really like. It's called The Dangerous World of Comedy.
Ooh. Oh.
It's a documentary series directed by Larry Charles, who directed Borat and
Seinfeld
Bruno.
Episodes,
and, yeah, Seinfeld yeah. episodes. Oh, wow. Appeared on a bunch of Seinfeld episodes. Basically, he goes around the world to the most fucked up countries he can find and, like, explores the comedy in those countries.
Oh, wow.
So he goes to, like, war-torn Iraq, you know, and, you know, Iraq has been at war for the past 1,000 years, and he talks to people about, like, what do you find funny here? Are there stand-up comedians working in Iraq? What do you joke about? And it's really interesting. You know, like, Iraq has its own version of The Daily Show, and he interviews the host of The Daily Show, and he's like, how did you discover you were funny? And he's like, well, I was abducted. I think he was abducted by some ISIS guys.
What the fuck?
And he was tortured. And he talks about, he's like, yeah, I was abducted with like 30 other people off the street. They were torturing us. Some people went insane from the torture. Other people, you know, were killed during the torture. And I found it very quickly that I had a sense of humor and I could make our captors laugh. And I just felt like if I kept joking with them, they wouldn't kill me. And that's how I discovered that, like, I was funny. And a lot of my humor now spawns from that stuff. And he's like, well, what would you joke about with the people who were torturing you? He's like, you know, they would pull me into the room to torture me, and I'd be like, hey, guys, what's up? Do whatever you got to do, but just don't put the bottle in my ass today. Anything else is fine, but, like, no bottle. And the stuff he's talking about, you know, it's like, it's not that funny, but I can see where he's coming from.
Defense mechanism.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, all right, we'll fuck you up, but, you know, we won't put the bottle in your ass today. And
oh,
he was
my
like,
God.
And I would joke with these guys, and I would keep them laughing, and it was a survival mechanism, like you said.
Oh.
And it's really interesting. And then they go to, like,
no Allah jokes, though.
They go to there's no stuff over there that they won't even in
they,
the interview
they
they're like
touch.
You said that, not us. We're not saying that, because people get assassinated for making jokes.
Oh yeah,
right.
They go to Liberia, war-torn Liberia, with, like, General Buck Naked.
Yeah.
Oh, he interviews General Buck Naked.
Shut that guy's fuck. Still around.
And how it's is fucking still alive? Crazy, because he asked General Buck Naked, like, what do you find funny? And first of all, General Buck Naked
is a psycho.
So
no,
he's interviewing
a
him
now.
And he's like, hey, General, I've heard that you've eaten human flesh. He's like, yeah, I have. He's like, what does it taste like? And he's like, pork ribs, pork, it tastes like pork. And he talks about how he killed people. He talks about how he killed children.
Right, yeah.
And,
like, ate their hearts and stuff.
Yeah, like, for sacrificial purposes.
Stuff.
And then he asks him, so he's like, so what do you find funny? He's like, you know, I find Bill Cosby's Kids Say the Darndest Things. Like, so, it's my favorite show. And he's like, this guy just told me a story about how he murdered children. But his favorite comedy show is Kids Say the Darndest Thing.
This is the
It's a show that is insane, but it's, I mean, if you know
good.
Me, it's my kind of show. I like seeing how fucked up the world is. And, you know, I like
dark
the world.
Humor.
I like dark humor. I like the world of comedy. And it was very interesting to see, you know, what it's like in other countries and how people operate. It really makes you realize that we're pampered and spoiled and we got a cushy life
no
here in America.
Shit. So lucky.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And people, yeah. Hey, I recommend it. Check
that
it out if
great.
You're into that.
That's awesome.
Watch The Dangerous World of Comedy on Netflix.
Yeah.
I'll check that out. I started watching a show called Schitt's Creek.
Whoa.
Oh, not Eugene Levy.
Yeah, Eugene Levy and his son.
And his son.
Wrote and directed the whole show. And it's got like 5 seasons.
Whoa. It's a popular show.
I just got into it. It was on some network called Pop. Which, where the fuck was that ever?
It was a what?
The Pop Network?
Yeah, no.
It's a Pop original, Sean.
Oh, got a popper, huh?
But it's on Netflix now, and pretty funny.
Yeah, I've heard, I mean, I've seen a lot of advertisements for it.
Yeah, I haven't sat down and, like, watched a sitcom in a long time, but I need something, like you're saying, when you eat dinner, I need to throw on, like, just a 20-minute quick
yeah.
episodic thing. So
Gerard Way
that.
Wrote a comic book, The Umbrella Academy. That's on Netflix now.
That is on Netflix, but it's superhero, and I'm like burnt out.
But it's Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance.
I
bro.
Know. Dude. He was next to us at Comic-Con that year.
He was. We kept playing that song.
Well, if you wanted honesty.
We were such dicks to him.
God, he was signing at the booth next to us, and what's that? what's that stuff? Black Parade?
Yeah.
We put that on and we started dancing to it, thinking this is really funny, but we're so funny. I did not realize the song was like 8.5 minutes long. And by the end, I was like drenched in sweat. Like, yeah. Did we get him? Did we?
You got him.
Fuck his dad.
You should have put on Helena, bro. That song's like 30 seconds.
You know what?
Umbrella Academy is okay. I promise.
I started.
That's so weird coming from you.
I'm not okay is a song that they that they wrote.
Damn My Chemical Romance.
I watched. I showed the kids The Office. Because I think and they loved it, whatever. Yeah. But like, we watched the first three seasons. And I'm like, all right, and that's The Office. But there's like a lot more. I'm like, whatever. And they kept watching it, and so now like I've seen well past the third season
where you stopped.
I stopped like a hard stop, and that kept hearing things like, wait, what happened? Like they did this fucking dumb dance. Like the what is this?
Yeah, I watched past the third season.
There are parts that it's like, oh, this is funny. Like it blew me away. Like I was so quick to like. Fuck this whole thing. We're done. It was good. It's over. But like, there are parts that, like episodes that suck. But like, there are more episodes than the ones that suck. They're like, oh, this is like really funny and really good Office. Like it was like blown me away how like I was so quick to judge that. But I was like, oh no, this is still good. So go back. There are some that suck. But if you want to watch it again, I would check it out.
Not going.
You don't have to.
With all the superheroes and being burnt out on superhero stuff, I will say that of all the Netflix Marvel stuff that they were doing,
yeah,
the Punisher was, I think, the best one. And I just finished that third season.
Didn't they just cancel it?
Yeah, I mean, Disney owns it now, so they canceled all of them.
Like, Eminem put him on blast. He said, like, fuck you, Netflix, for canceling
who
Punisher.
Did?
Eminem.
Oh, Eminem did?
Do you think...
That?
Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, Frank, you've been reading a ton
of
Punisher.
Yeah, I'm, like, almost done with Punisher Max.
The thing I liked about the Punisher on Netflix is it's, like, not a superhero show. You know, the Punisher doesn't have any superpowers.
Oh, he's just a guy.
He doesn't really wear, like, a costume, aside from his bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
But, that show was kind of just like a drama of these characters, and it was good and super fucking violent.
Let me give you, my theory on this? They canceled all of their Netflix shows, right?
Yeah. Like Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Daredevil.
But they're all popular, I thought. So
yeah,
don't
really popular.
Do you think that it's probable that when they start their own streaming service, which they are starting very soon, they will have these same shows back on new seasons?
I think so.
And they're doing this now. Everyone's upset. They're not saying this, but I guarantee you that when they announce, oh, this thing's coming up, and oh, yeah, all these shows you love, they're on here too. Like, that's going
to
happen.
And if they wanted to, they can, like, recast or reboot so that's even cheaper. Like, that
shit
happens all
the
time.
Sure,
they
could.
That would suck because the characters they had. Like, I think I liked Jessica Jones and I liked Luke Cage, but the Punisher blew both of those.
I love John
Bernthal.
How is he as the Punisher?
He's a good Punisher.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about Disney, this is a perfect time for me to bring this up.
Do it.
You guys listen to, you guys have a favorite Disney song from a Disney movie?
Ariel sings that one. No, I don't think so. I have a favorite Disney
song. Go ahead.
Well, as a kid, my favorite song was from Beauty and the Beast, and it was
too.
Gaston's song.
Yes! Dude, been listening to Gaston's song on repeat on Spotify.
Dun 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 dun.
You know,
that one. I've listened to the other one.
Okay,
the one where they're going to get the beast. Like, there's a perk. Dun 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 dun.
No one fucks like Gaston. It should be the name of the song. There's nobody just quite as manly. It's true, you're a real paradon. You can ask any Tom, Dick, or Stanley, and they'll tell you whose team they prefer to be on.
That's your fave.
No one plays darts like Gaston, breaks hearts like Gaston. No one's more than the sum of his parts like Gaston. So that I've been thinking about Beauty and the Beast and Gaston, and you know what? Maybe I'm biased because I love the song so much.
Right.
Yeah.
Gaston is the true hero of Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
He's the fucking real hero of that movie, Disney fucked him. They fucked him over. Gaston is fucking rad.
Okay, yeah.
He's fucking buff.
He's buff.
He's popular.
Yeah.
And all he wants to do is find a good woman to settle down with.
Right.
And he thinks, you know, maybe Belle should give him a chance and go on a date with him. What does Belle do?
She turns her nose up.
She turns her nose up and she picks this fucking loser named Beast. Yeah. Now, let's recap the story of Beauty and the Beast. And let me explain to everybody out there who's Disney cucked.
Yeah.
Why Beauty and the Beast is so fucked up.
Okay.
All right. So Belle's dad, who's a fucking moron, gets lost in the woods one day and, oh, there's a fucking scary haunted castle. Let me go stomp over there and fucking stick my nose in some shit.
Okay.
And he meets the Beast and the Beast is, go figure, a monster. And he's like, I'm going to fucking kill you so fucking bad, old man. Oh, you have a daughter? Okay, well, send your daughter to live with me and I'll let you live. So the old man leaves the castle and, like a fucking chump, actually sends his daughter to go live with the Beast.
The daughter comes and rescues him. He doesn't send the daughter.
The daughter comes to rescue him?
Yeah. He's in jail.
Either way, well, there's different versions of this story.
Well, I'm talking about the Disney version.
So there's a fairy tale version. Okay. There's I was in the Beauty and the Beast play when I was 8 years old. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Okay.
Who'd you play?
I played one of.
I was going to say Gaston.
I played.
His homies?
I played one of Gaston's homies,
oh,
one
yeah.
of the guys in the tavern.
Uh-huh. That wants to suck his dick.
Uh-huh, yeah, they do, and I did, and I do now. But all right, so Beast makes the trade. Your daughter could stay here, and you could go home, and the old man fucking does it. Cool, Dad. Like, what kind of...
Yeah,
would
that's
you,
fucked up.
Would you send Emma to go live with the
that's
Beast?
That's some biblical shit.
So that you could go home and fucking work?
In the Disney movie, and I'm just going by that because it's the only one I know.
All right.
She trades him. He keeps saying, don't do this. I'm old. Let me die here. It's fine. Uh-huh. She says yes. The Beast doesn't give him a say. Picks him up and then throws him out of the castle and then locks her up. So he instantly goes back to the village to say, we got to save my daughter
trapped... Exactly. Okay.
So to me, I feel like I'm on his side here. I'm on the dad's side.
You're on dad. Okay. You're with dad's side.
I'm a dad.
Okay. So we all know how the story ends. Belle falls in love with Beast, which is fucking psycho. This guy kidnapped you and locked you. Like Stockholm Syndrome. Hello. That's not true love. That's fucking mental insanity. Shit.
Yeah. Stay out of the right wing of the fucking mansion. Don't touch my rose. So, all that shit.
Old man goes back to town. This fucking monster kidnapped my daughter. Gaston. Baller that he is, is the only motherfucker in town who says, let's go get her back, dude.
Okay.
Everybody else is like, no, I'm scared. And Gaston's like, fuck all of you. Belle, who always snubbed me, who is always a bitch to me, but I don't care because I'm so forgiving.
Turn the other cheek.
I'm going to go save her ass, even though I don't owe her fucking anything. Okay. I should let her ass rot with that gnarly ass beast, but I'm going to be a nice guy and I'm going to go save her.
Okay.
What happens? Beast fucking kills him.
Damn.
Beast fucking throws his ass off a cliff.
Into the thorns.
And then Belle marries Beast. What is the fucking moral of that story?
Okay.
That's some bullshit right now, there. How it should have ended is Gaston goes, slays the monster.
Yeah.
Rescues Belle, and then she could at least give Gaston the courtesy she gave of Beast of, like, hanging out with him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If that's all it takes to make Belle fall in love with you, she should have done that for Gaston.
She should have got to know him.
He was already handsome and popular.
He's got one of those guns with the like the flugelhorn end. He's stuffing black powder into it.
You know, like Beast was cursed by a witch, which obviously tells me he has a history of being problematic with women to begin with, since one got fucked up revenge on him. Like, what did Beast do to that witch? I wonder. I'm afraid to ask.
Well, and he doesn't let her
go. In the movie, he said she couldn't get shelter in the rain.
Yeah, but they were probably fucking and got into a fight, and he kicked her out of the house in the middle of, like, a blizzard, and she cursed him. And then when Belle shows up, she's like, what did you do? He's like, oh, it's some crazy bitch. Shows up in the middle of the rain, and I said, I can't open the door because it's some fucking lie. I don't trust the Beast. He's a fucking liar. We all know that. I've just established it.
Yeah,
when was the last time you've seen Beauty and the Beast?
It's been a while.
Yeah, I can tell.
But as I remember it, this is what happened.
Well, I think
it's
you should
song,
go,
though.
Go watch it again with this mindset and see where you land when it's over, because Gaston is a huge asshole.
That's the way Disney portrays
him. They rewrote history. Now,
but if you look at the objective facts, he's handsome, he's successful, he's popular, he's gregarious, and he offers to rescue Belle out of the goodness of his heart, not expecting anything in return, gets thrown out a fucking window for his trouble, and then they don't even fucking have a funeral for him. They basically dance on his grave, and she marries the fucking ugly guy
right on top
who
of
happens
he died.
To be rich, so Belle is probably a gold digger.
He
nailed it. True.
Gold digger.
He had all the books. She's a book digger.
That's true. She wanted that
the
library.
The whole library.
Yeah, she yeah. wanted the library. The castle and all the servants was just a perk.
Gaston could have given her a subscription or something.
Yeah, like, Gaston could have loaned her a book. Beast could have loaned her a book,
she
too.
She worked in a bookshop, right?
Yeah. No, she... No, God damn it. She didn't work there. She just went there all the time, and the guy would give her books because
see,
no one else
married,
checked him out but her.
Should have married that guy.
Yeah.
Librarian.
I saw that movie probably 6 times in theaters when I was a kid.
Wow.
We went to see that.
It was nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah. I loved it as a kid, but my dad wanted to go all the time just because there's that one shot of them dancing with the CG candelabra, and he's like, I have to see that again.
Because that was new.
That was like revolutionary. And yeah. he's like, I've never seen anything like this. We have to go again so I can see that again. We went all the time just so we could see that one scene.
Oh, so you're Disney cucked. Of course. That's why you're fighting me on this. Watch it as an adult, and you will see that
okay.
Gaston is the real hero, and they fucked him. Disney fucked Gaston.
Fucked him right off a cliff.
All
right,
fair enough.
They should do a prequel where we see why the Beast was an asshole to his ex-girlfriend who cursed him. Mm. And we actually learn why Gaston's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But that's the best Disney song, in your opinion.
Fuck yeah, that song rules.
I would say maybe like a Danny Elfman something from Nightmare Before Christmas, but does that even count? Because they bought it retroactively.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I'm saying of all the Disney princess movies, I liked the song of Gaston singing, like, going to get the Beast. That song was like...
So you're on...
Yeah.
See, you should be agreeing with Derek then. That's
yeah,
your favorite
Beast
song.
Beast fans. Yeah.
I'm just... Well, no. I don't agree with Derek. But I do like that song.
Okay.
But I enjoy his thought process. I did enjoy that.
You're all entitled to your own opinion.
That's right. Spider-Verse 1, guys.
Cool.
So,
good job.
So we feel good.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Is this the sponsor section of the podcast?
I think so.
We hit it?
Yeah. Well, sure. We can do that. I was going to ask if you guys have been playing video games.
Oh.
I know, Sean, you have a new video game you were playing just before the show started.
I was playing Peggle. You guys, I'm back on the
Peggle
train.
Which one?
The first one?
No. They don't have that on the store anymore. Peggle Ultra, I think is what it's called. I don't know.
It's not Peggle 3?
But let me tell you, they kind of fucked up Peggle Blast Ultra, Peggle Blast. I don't fucking know.
Peggle Blast.
Peggle Blast Ultra.
Pickle Blast Ultra.
Skeet, skeet, skeet.
Anal Blast Ultra.
Let me tell you that I haven't played Peggle since Peggle 1.
Since the old days.
Got this, and I'm like, this is weird. There's like ads everywhere trying to beat a level. There's a new ad.
Is it a bootleg Peggle?
No, it's like, oh, now there's like, oh, you died and you...
Wait a second, this is Peggle.
You wasted your 5 lives, so you have to wait an hour and a half before you get lives back. Or...
No way.
You could give us money, and then you can play now. Like, all that weird shit, and then I was like, what
microtransactions.
Happened? Microtransactions. Yeah, like, PopCap, what'd you do? And then I looked at the fucking graphic. It's PopCap / EA.
You motherfuckers.
EA got in my Peggle and ruined it.
Holy shit.
You got EA mixed up in your Peggle.
I shouldn't say this, because they're going to figure out this... hack, but Emma figured out that if you die in a level, you can just close the app and open it back up again, and then all your lives are back to normal.
Oh,
so
look at that.
I'm not paying for
shit. Kids figure that. Kids never break
she
that.
She figured
shit.
It out on the playground.
That's smart.
Yeah. Kids are in class all day on their phones. Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Yeah,
so she's a little hacker.
Emma hacked it. Thank you, Emma.
Yeah. Now I've been hearing.
Is the game free?
The game is free.
Okay,
sure.
And how much? Can you pay money and just unlock a full version?
No, and I. No, there's not. Which
what?
Is the, yeah. So like that's the thing. It's like, yeah, if it was $2, I probably would have given the $2. I like Peggle. But it's like, yeah, they can't even give the option because they know they fucking gotcha and they might get all that money.
Capitalism fucks.
Yeah, EA.
Yeah. Mm. What happened? EA just put out Anthem?
Yeah.
Which is like a really big release.
So
has
Anthem
played
came
that?
Out and it's having like Destiny 1 issues where it's like the game doesn't feel like done or perfect, you know.
Boring.
But that's why,
my problem
like,
with Destiny 1. Boring.
But they buried it by putting Apex Legends out like a week before. So it's like, hey, we put out this game for free. Don't ignore our problems with the Anthem and play Apex.
Oh,
play Apex.
Really?
Yeah. So people were advertising like Destiny 2, the complete version is $20 if you want to play that. So whatever, it'll get patched
it
later
looks,
on, probably.
Anthem looks fucking pretty.
Yeah, it's sci-fi like in the jungle shooting
the flying
shit.
Around and everything, but I just don't want another mech body armor shooter.
The problem for me is I was reading it takes like 2.5 minutes to like between action like Like loading into a mission takes minutes. Changing equipment takes minutes. Like all this shit. Whereas something like Apex or fucking Peggle, I bet you can just get into a game immediately.
Right. Is it because the game is so like big that it takes just time to load? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's a pretty ass game. Like, yeah, a lot of games on EA's, like, I think it's on Frostbite's engine. It looks gorgeous, but it's so resource heavy.
Yeah,
and yeah, I don't know. They're patching it. They're working on it, but. Yeah.
Most of my friends' list is all playing that new Metro Exodus.
Yeah, that just came out.
That
too.
Looks beautiful as well. And it's another first-person shooter based. Well, it's
another entry
shooter.
In the Metro series.
Yeah. Which I've never played any of. Yeah. Little tempting.
You would probably like.
Oh, yeah. It's like Metro. Post-apocalyptic,
it
hardcore.
Like, you can start with survival horror, too.
Yeah. There's like different like modes you can set it to. So you can play in like a harder or like ranger mode or whatever where it's like. Collecting ammo and shooting bugs and shit. Yeah, it's cool.
I'm still like just balls deep in Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Wow.
So I am almost done with my second campaign, which would be like Leon B.
Hell yeah.
Because I started with Claire A. And then once I finish that, I can't wait to do the three little lost survivors free DLC that came out with it.
That's cool.
And then I really do want to like go back and... not 100% that game, but get the unlocks. Like, actually watch speedrunners play through
there's
and try
so
to do it in
now.
Under the 3.5 hours and stuff. Because I know I can. I mean, especially now after playing through the campaign twice, I've got the map laid out. Like, I know where the boss fights are now. I still, though,
too,
I get so scared sometimes playing that where I scream out loud because you're not expecting to get like decked by Mr. X.
Fuck. Yeah.
And he comes around a corner when I'm opening the door there and
fuck that.
It's so fun though. It's so beautiful and gory. I love it.
I
was going to say, like, I'm going to talk about Spider-Man just for one more second. I know I've been playing that a lot. I'm almost 100% in the DLC. Like, I am so close to like this. Everything's 100% really soon. But the DLC is a lot more gory and graphic than the game, which I was surprised about. And so, like, I'm playing with the kids, and like we've been playing this whole thing, and it's very tame. Like it's tea, but it's like not really. Like it's everyone really. And now it's like these cutscenes are like, oh fuck, cover your like they're like open this truck out and they like point blank shoot a guy in the face. Like, holy shit, that was not in the game. Now it's like this DLC is fucking gnarly.
Spider-Man, what are you doing? Look at my kids here.
What the fuck?
That's like when they started headshotting people in Pirates of the Caribbean. I was like, this is a Disney film.
What'd you do?
Fuck. Yeah.
They snuck it in on the DLC because it came out with the T rating, but no one...
wasn't.
If they figure if you beat the game, you're a big kid. So you
I guess so. Yeah. But like...
Spider-Man goes to a strip club, the tits come out, dude. They start getting the web in the face.
That was like...
I don't know what I meant there.
Oh, man. That platformer game that was based off of...
You're going to get it.
Dante's Inferno. And it was pretty tame until you got like to the last levels where everything looked like vaginas on the walls.
Dude, that was the second level.
And then... Oh, that was the second level? Yeah. And then the devil's cock was swinging around in the boss
the
fight?
Level. Yeah.
I just felt like, big kids will get to the end of the game.
The gory shit, graphic shit later.
But maybe,
Dante's Inferno was a great game.
Up front. Yeah, make a second one. Yeah. It was open for...
It's EA.
It's
they
EA again.
Ah! They can't monetize
they
it
need to
with
put
microtransactions.
Damn it, yeah.
And lastly, I beat over the weekend. I played Return of the Obra Dinn. This game, it's by the guy who did... It's by Lucas Pope who made Papers, Please. 4.5 years it took him to develop this game.
Whoa.
It is like... It is... an old school like adventure puzzle game. The graphic style looks like an 80s Macintosh game. It is 3D, but it has like 1-bit graphic style, so everything's green and black. That's it.
Whoa.
The premise is it takes place like in 1807. A ship was lost at sea. It returns to shore, and your insurance like claimsman going on board to figure out how everyone died. And you find a corpse, and you see the last moments of that person's life. And there's all these different like chapters and scenarios, and you're witnessing like people getting shot, stabbed, like Krakens and monster fighting people, and you just have to like figure out, oh, this person was the chef, this person was the carpenter, and like, but the art style and presentation is so fucking weird and bizarre.
It won some awards at GDC last year.
Yeah, it was like nominated for a bunch of stuff at like Dice and GDC this year on a bunch of top 10 lists. But it's like a logic puzzle or a Sudoku. It's fucking like, I just haven't played anything like it. It's really cool.
Sudoku meets Event Horizon.
Yeah, it's fucking rad. Return of the Obra Dinn.
Hell yeah.
It's a cool game.
All right, we do have some plugs here to make, everybody. Please visit patreon.com/mega64. Support us there. We have some videos going up, friend dimensions.
Outtakes, like behind the scenes, or like, you know, things that we maybe shot for a video.
Kingdom Hearts success.
Yeah, a lot of outtakes. Behind the scenes stuff is going up on the Patreon. You know, we'd put it on YouTube, but it'd be demonetized because of potentially negative comments.
But so, like, you know, it's a dollar to get in and see those videos. Worth a dollar makes you laugh.
True.
Like, check it out. Some stuff is pretty good on there.
Yeah, I'll plug my own show. We also have two episodes of Heart Slayers up on Patreon early before they hit YouTube. It used to be one, now it's two because we're just so good at it.
Double the pleasure, double the fun.
You can also go to shop.mega64.com. Garrett, would you do me a favor and read what this hat says?
Oh, Bahamas?
Bahamas, bro.
You're so reliable, man.
I'm living Moss, baby.
Who remembers the Bahamas incident with Garrett at the old studio?
Hey, someone in the
Bahamas?
Chat.
Bahamas?
I just want to...
That
sorry.
Says Bahamas?
Hey, I just want to... it's the Bahamas, Garrett.
I was like cranking my neck to the side, trying to look backwards.
Could read sideways?
I just said it slowly.
Bahamas. Well, to commemorate that classic event from the Mega 64 podcast, for this week's 64-hour special, we got the Bahamas shirt. Check that out. Welcome to Bahamas.
Welcome to the Bahamas.
It's perfect. You got the tie-dye blue.
You got everything.
Yeah, we matched it up with the hat. So that's available for the next 64 hours. That's actually available right now if you're watching live.
It's
and if
live.
You're seeing this on Tuesday on YouTube, if you haven't left a negative comment, you have just a few hours left to get the shirt, the 64-hour special this week. Welcome to Bahamas.
It's like Spring Breakers. That's great.
I can't tell you how much I love these 64-hour special ideas.
Because,
like, that shirt is so fucking funny. But, like, we couldn't sell that normally, but now we can. It's so great. So, yeah, please buy that. It's fucking crazy.
That one is good enough for our store.
I think you're right.
It doesn't promote Mega 64. It's just welcome to Bahamas.
Welcome to the Bahamas.
Yeah. People are going to be like, did you go to... Bahamas?
And that was designed by Meg, is that correct?
Yeah, Meg designed that, and thank you, Meg. She's done all of our 64-hour... she didn't do the first one. That was Jason Cryer. But the previous two have been Meg. She kills it. Thank you, Meg. Check that out.
I just went on vacation. A lot of people thought I would have gone to the Bahamas instead of Cabo San Lucas.
You said that right.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was Los Cabos, actually, the city right next to Cabo San Lucas.
How was that?
On the peninsula.
Was that Cabo Wabo down there?
It's down there, baby. I didn't visit Cabo Wabo.
Is that a bar?
It's a tequila bar owned by Sammy Hagar. Yeah. The worst singer of Van Halen.
Agreed. 100%.
Right now. Hey! I hate that song.
Hate that guy.
That's like their biggest hit.
No, Jump is like... You know,
you're a Lee Roth fan.
I'm a big David Lee Roth fan. David too, Sean?
Yeah, over the two?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Fuck Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people did.
That's why I didn't go to Cabo Wabo. You know, when traveling into Mexico, people get a little freaked out. A lot of shit going on with the cartels in Mexico. I wanted to just stay in the resort. And I got to say, it was one of these all-inclusive kind of deals.
Yeah.
Where you book everything... and then you go down there, you get a little wristband, a little bracelet.
Oh, you're wearing it.
Yeah. And you can walk into any of these like restaurants in the resort or go up to any of the bars, or there's waiters by the pool and, sir, can we get you some virgin pina colada, sir, please?
And you just get whatever you want.
Dude, and it's all free. I like to tip, you know, a couple dollar bills here, now and there. They say, like, no, don't do that. But
don't tip.
But come on.
God, whoa.
I know, like, because it's all inclusive. You know, some stuff is a little over the top.
So
but
if you're like hungry at 3 a.m, like, I'm gonna call room service.
Room service.
What was the craziest thing you did with your wristband?
Sea bass ceviche every night before I went to bed.
Whoa,
what is sea bass ceviche?
Ceviche is usually raw fish or shrimp
in like a little juice
in lime or citrus juice with some hot sauce mixed in. Agua chile. Oh, that's with the green, the salsa verde in there. Mm. It's great.
Oh, nice.
I mean, I went a little, you know, we were there to relax and enjoy the sun and the surf, beautiful beach, all kinds of like clear water on the beach, but then fish and all types of different wildlife, crabs and stuff, right there at the shore, kind of going in between your legs.
Was the water warm?
Not as warm as that pool water.
Well, okay.
But it was still pretty. I mean, I left rain, hail, and snow in San Diego.
God, fuck this.
For 75 degrees and sunshine, nice. Baby. It was a good week to get out.
Hell yeah.
But I'm happy to be back here with you guys.
That's awesome.
Sounds fun.
A lot of people were wondering why there was no PPS last week.
You are in Mexico.
That's why, baby.
I know we're kind of getting to the end, but I do want to be honest with you guys.
We got another half hour.
And tell you that
he blew past that
this
comment.
Week I did it and I
with
tried
sex?
The CBD.
Oh.
I did it.
You
did
the
really?
CBD
I
show?
Really
oh,
did.
Fuck.
I really did.
How many did you take?
I took one.
You took a CBD pill?
I took a CBD pill.
You're going to need to take about five to feel anything.
Did
next
you become
time.
High?
I've never been high. So I can't tell you. And they keep saying, oh, yeah, this is you don't get high. But I felt fucking weird. And I can't.
That's your mind.
That's why in my head. Because
dude became high, y'all.
They're telling, like, I kept going like this.
Oh,
that's a high thing.
He kept
that's
feeling
a high
face.
Thing.
Is that really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that really a high thing?
For the first time.
No.
Yeah, rubbing your
mouth. Hey, did you eat a Pringle?
No.
Oh,
no,
it would have blown your mind, bro.
No. But I know that you don't get high doing it. But I didn't know that was a symptom of.
Becoming high,
doing drugs. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I kept going like this, and like,
oh, so you did.
CBD. I took it because I every now and then I feel super anxious for no fucking reason.
Oh, relaxes you.
Oh,
you need a Xanny bar,
right? And so I was told, like, for anxiety, like,
do CBD.
If I can figure out why I am anxious, then I feel like okay, well, I guess I know what's going on. But there's times like why I don't. There's no reason for me to feel this way. I'm fucking freaking out. So then I'm like, that happened to me. I'm like, I'm gonna take one. I'm gonna see what happens.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel anxious anymore.
Nice.
Good.
But I was super irritated with everything and everyone. Like,
what?
I wasn't. Yeah. I was like, feel anxious, but I'm fucking pissed
at
the
world.
I think
that was a THC pill. you're not even describing CBD.
No, you should have been like mellow.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Deep,
the weed lowered your emotional intelligence. So every little transgression was like pissing you off because you were too high to handle this shit. I can't handle this fucking
you're
shit
like,
right now.
These fucking kids are pissing me off right now. Making
I
too
was
much noise.
I'm too fucking high for this shit
it was
right
a
now.
Fucking mess on my living floor again. Pick it up.
Yeah, I can't pick that up. I'm fucking stoned, bro.
Tripping balls for your kids.
You only took one?
I took one. That's what they said. Take one. The bottle said take one.
That's so funny. He was rubbing his face.
Dude,
it worked. That's how we know it worked,
I think,
at least.
Somebody slipped some marijuana in there for
you. I don't know,
you
guys. But, I mean, on that bottle, there's like 1,000 pot leaves. But, I mean,
that's
I know.
Right. Pill contains one.
Well, that's where it comes
leaves.
From. It comes from the cannabis plant.
I know.
That's
I
right.
know. So, anyways.
Take two next time.
Maybe it was fake CBD.
Maybe it was, real pot
THC.
Fake CBD.
Real pot masquerading as CBD.
I had like the most vivid, loose, like crazy dreams ever after taking that.
Bet.
So I don't know if that's like related either.
You're dreaming through your third eye.
I was fucking
when you get
astral
tripping.
Projecting.
I was tripping in my dream world.
When you get migraines next time, try taking one.
Okay.
See if that goes away. Because
okay.
I think that helps with that too.
I think so.
I think you're ready to graduate to vape pen.
Oh, I don't know if I'm
Move
ready
on
for that
up
yet.
To a, ni- but, a nice mellow sativa, Sean.
But the next time that I do feel that like anxiety over nothing, I may do it again, and I'll see if that facing was this. I was also cooking at the same time, so maybe it was just the heat.
That anxiety over nothing is your subconscious trying to remind you that the world is so fucked up, and we're just sliding towards annihilation, and nobody seems to give a shit or be doing anything about it, and you don't know how to overcome anything, and you feel anxious.
So you need to block it out.
I got
to
block it out
and
with a CBD
face.
Pill.
Block it out.
Yeah. Sean's going to start microdosing with CBD when it comes to work.
What's microdosing mean?
You just take like a half of a pill.
Yeah.
Well, it's a gel capsule, so
just drink half of it.
That'd be tricky.
Squirt half in your tongue.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I thought I would wait until
I
podcast.
Finally trust you.
No, thank you.
Because I don't trust anybody who doesn't experiment with at least CBD.
Yeah, I gave it a shot. Yeah. I wanted
teachers,
to see.
Cops.
Next, let's go to a kava bar.
What's kava?
Kava. Oh,
what's kava?
You just step into the whole new realm of natural
if you like
enhancers.
CBD, you should try DMT. I hear it's basically the same thing.
Okay. Three syllables.
Yeah, if it's three letters, I'm in.
Yeah.
Nice. LSD on the way.
PCP.
Final. Yeah, let's try it all.
Right?
CSI, let's do it.
MMORPG. This dude's going to start playing
Yeah.
He dabbles.
But as I did it, I thought, like, well, Garrett does this. Like, if Garrett will take this, yeah, then like, I trust that it's not going to fuck me up. And then I was cooking. I was like, yeah, but I feel weird. What is this?
You got the sillies.
But then I thought, like, fucking Garrett gave me alpha brain and destroyed my life. So,
Yeah,
you've really experimented with a lot of crazy shit, man.
I'm bananas over here, guys.
You're
I'm
doing Spider-Man all the weird DLC. Drugs.
Yeah, see, but it didn't affect the way your mind thought.
No.
Well,
I was
annoyed.
Fucking annoyed with everyone. I was
maybe
irritated.
That's just your that's normal your life. Self. You're getting annoyed.
You're balanced,
you were fed up with the world. That's why you decided to take the pill.
Yeah, you see that movie Falling Down?
And it did, you I didn't, did. That's what it was.
I'm the bad guy?
He was super annoyed and anxious about his life and all the kids making messes and everything.
It wasn't.
So
he
thought,
joke,
I'll take the CBD pill. This will calm me down. But he didn't take enough, so he was still annoyed.
I legitimately think any mind-altering substance does lower your what they call emotional intelligence, your tolerance for like base level bullshit. When you're sober, it's like, this sucks, but you know what? I'm gonna think about something else.
Right.
When you're fucked up, it's like, I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm just fucking pissed off right now.
Right.
I need to get out of here.
Right. That's why people who like drunk at bars fight over like literally nothing because they you know, that's a big deal to them. That spilt cup is a big deal to them, and normally who fucking cares? Wow. If I do it again, I'll let you know. I'll report back.
Okay, cool.
I did do it. So where to go from here? I don't know.
A lot of people in the chat saying I'm wrong. Drinking helps with a lot of their problems. Yeah, guys. Well, you're right. I take it back.
I'll see you
at
Disneyland.
Keep doing what you're doing. You're fucking rocking it.
You know best.
Keep on drinking them problems away. It's all good to me.
Never catches up to you.
Like, I don't drink that often. But like, I will say like there are times like having a glass of wine after like everyone's gone to bed is like, like it just feels nice and relaxing. I'm not like getting wasted. I'm just like, this is just like relaxing me just a little bit, so I can watch some Veep and then take it easy. So,
dude, put some CBD in your wine.
You know what? Yeah. You should watch. It's Veep's good.
Is it?
I really
like it. Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I fucking love her.
Well, I like Eugene Levy. So.
I'm in love with her. She's great.
Yeah, maybe mix the CBD and the wine.
Okay.
Next time.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
All right, where do we go from here? We still got so much. I mean, it's only 7 o'clock.
We nailed it. We had the perfect
podcast. We usually
go
until about 7:20 and then.
Yeah, usually I try to like.
Curb us.
Yeah, and then Rocco tells me that like what I'm thinking isn't important. He has to talk about some bullshit about his new car or his flight.
Or Disney World or something.
Or Disney World. Not this time.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Teslas, air flights.
Power Rangers.
None of
new
Apple?
Action figures,
Apple,
the shirt that I
socks.
Bought.
No one showed off their socks.
Yeah, everybody bought socks from Chick-fil-A. People. I'm sorry, main guy's not here. It's a shit show.
Oh, you got
show.
Your Math Rocks shirt
on. Yeah,
hell
yeah.
I feel like I'm going to – oh, yeah, that's the shirt that inspired it
all. That is the shirt that inspired
it. I think that he's missing a podcast this year that we're the main guys now. I think he's no longer main guy. So consider that.
I'm not ready for that responsibility. I just started
I think
here.
You are.
Dude – so, can I take a second to talk about the Weezer strategy?
Sure,
please.
The game plan that Weezer has been doing.
You got it.
You guys, actually, Sean and Rocco, you guys showed me Weezer's latest album.
The turquoise album? The
fucking rainbow album, whatever it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
The one that came out that's all covers.
Oh, that's a turquoise album.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
They already did the green album and the blue album, so now they mixed them together. I don't understand what Weezer's game plan is. Most bands start as a cover band and then move into making real music. Weezer did the opposite.
Right.
They started by making real music, and they've become a cover band now.
You know what? I think what happened was they released that Toto song, and everyone loved it. I don't know why. I was saying to them,
Africa
like,
by Toto?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They didn't like when you do a cover, like change it up, like make the song yours.
Yeah,
like, same words.
I agree. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Hey, I want to like legitimately, I love Marilyn Manson's covers. Like, I love them. No. I think they're fun.
Yeah.
I like it.
The Exodus cover of Lowrider.
Sure.
Beautiful.
Hey, even Alien Ant Farm with their
Smooth
Criminal. Love it. Like, I enjoy that. Like, you made it your own. Cool. They just like made the song again. It's like, no, this song already exists. And like, for some reason, it blew up, and I can't figure out why.
And then, in a fucking weird Twilight Zone twist of fate, they made a video which was a remake of their previous video for the sweater song.
Yeah.
But then they didn't completely remake it because then the original dogs run through.
And they couldn't get dogs.
They like cut that. It was just fucking weird.
Half-assed.
And so now they have this cover album out. And they put out a cover of A-ha, Take On Me.
Right.
Oh, which yeah. A-ha recently re-released that song.
Okay.
And they covered themselves and changed it up.
That's how you
they
do it.
They made it like a slow ballad, and it's like kind of sad, and they're much older now, so it's like, different. Oh, dang, like, dude, life's coming to an end. Like, this is kind of teary-eyed. And then Weezer just goes the other route of like, wow, we're just going to do the 80s version.
Yeah.
And then they released a video, which is so fucking – if you haven't seen this video, you maybe just check it out to see how crazy Weezer has become. The video is set in the 80s, starring the kid from Stranger Things – as Young Rivers.
Wait, the girl?
Okay.
No, like the
Wolf kids.
Like Wolfgang. One
Wolf
of the boys.
Tryhard?
Yeah. Wolf Tryhard.
Wolf Tryhard, yeah.
He plays Young Rivers, and it's in the 80s, and he has his own like garage band. They play in the living room. And then he goes and he practices with his band, Young Rivers does, and they play A-ha, Take On Me.
Okay.
And then it starts doing the weird A-ha, Take On Me animation.
Where they step through the supermarket?
Kinda where it's like just kind of – it's
white
it
lines.
Turns animated. Yeah, like the okay. White, you know, like wispy lines. And I'm watching this video like, okay, you're in the 80s. You're remaking this video. You just remade Africa by Toto, and it was a remake of your music video from 1995. And I just feel like Weezer has a problem, and I don't know if they're aware of this, but those guys are stuck in the past. I just – do they realize it's 2019?
I just think that they saw – they got a hit. Like, with that cover of Africa.
See, I didn't even know this existed. Like, so how big of a hit could it be?
It was big.
I'm telling you. I guess
it was on,
like
the Billboard
radar.
Charts. It was, like, I think their highest single ever. It was, like, really big. But again, like, that whole album is just them making that song again worse than their band originally made it. So, like, I don't understand. There's no fucking point. And now they have the Black Album.
Which already exists, but this whatever.
Sorry, Metallica.
Sorry, yeah, and all the other... Didn't Jay-Z and...
That's true. Yeah, everyone. Too. Enough with the colors, Weezer. You get one.
This comes out on Friday. There's like two more songs. I listened to those today. They're garbage. But like, for some reason, there's like a morbid curiosity with Weezer. I have to listen to it. Like, I don't know what it is. Like,
really?
I guess I used to love him so much. I just have to give it a shot.
Didn't Weezer say that he came up with an equation, some type of formula for songwriting that was like a guarantee?
Well,
he,
I guess that formula is out the window because now he's just covering old songs.
He put the decimal place in the wrong spot.
He writes like legitimate pop songs and sells them to actual artists that become
producer.
Hits. Yeah, he writes these songs and they are big. But then he like keeps the rejects for himself or something. Like, I don't know what they do, but it's weird.
But all right, I guess there's just no more new music, and all their videos are set in the 80s or 90s, and they're remakes of 80s songs.
I guarantee that in 15 years, they will have an album, and it will be called Geezer. That's a lame
Weezer Geezer.
I'm not even trying to be funny. I legitimately am calling it now. They are going to do that.
Here's my prediction.
And it'll just be the Blue Album.
I have my own
slowed down.
And you kind of hit it. In about 5 years, Weezer's going to release the Blue Album 2. And they're going to cover themselves.
Yeah.
And they're going to re-record all their old songs.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what's
going
to happen.
They were the first band that I heard of going on a tour that was just playing our first album.
Yeah.
Which is what the fans want, which will get people interested in coming out to shows again. And now a lot of bands do that. Like, I went and saw Bauhaus, or what was left of Bauhaus.
Peter Murphy.
Yeah, play all of In the Flat Field. And that was awesome. And I've been to other shows where they've played, like, their first, you know, the whole band got together, played their first album, or played one album in entirety. And Weezer was the first one I ever heard of doing that. It's like they invented that, but... Yeah, now they're losing steam.
I think they should break up. Seriously, like, they've made a shit ton of money, and I probably said this on the previous podcast, but their contribution to bad music by far outweighs their contribution to good music.
Yeah.
Of all the songs they've written, you know, let's be generous and say like 20, 25 of them are good. Then you have like 75 garbage songs.
Yeah.
That's like...
Malandroid on.
Yeah.
What... Was Weezer
in bad ratio?
Was the guitarist and Rivers on the Game Awards? Am I remembering that?
Oh, correctly? They came out. They didn't. They came out. Hey, what's up? I'm Rivers from Weezer. Yeah. Here's the Devil May Cry song. They didn't. Yeah. They weren't there to perform.
That was the weirdest...
They came out to introduce the Devil May Cry music.
That's the only thing I've seen from Weezer was those two band members coming onto the Game Awards.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I've seen in the last 10 years. They've been so off my radar. But
well, I'm going to play you their new songs, Garrett, after the show, and you're going to fucking love
that
it.
That whole We're All on Drugs song I thought sucked.
Oh, that was the death nail.
Yeah, I mean, two great albums. Yeah. And then,
I say they had 25 good songs, but that's really fucking generous.
I mean, what are the first two albums? That's about 25 songs.
I mean, no, that's probably like 14 songs.
Yeah.
Mm.
I like Cash Pipe. I'll give him that on the
Green
Album.
I like some Green Album songs.
I saw him in concert once, and it was Green Album era.
But was it here?
It was SDSU, yeah.
Yeah, I was there. Was
Do we know each other?
No.
Oh, wow.
Did Tenacious D open for him?
They might have.
Yeah, I was there. It was sick. Good
show.
We're friends.
Sick, bro.
We
had the same. Hey, guys, the same concert.
Some guy gave me free tickets, I remember.
Anyways, we're old. We're critiquing Weezer.
That show?
We're officially old as
fuck. What are you
going
to do?
Last part, that show was postponed because of 9/11.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah. And then we had, and then Jimmy Eat World opened, and I was very excited. Thank you for watching, guys. Have a great night.
I wonder if when Bush did 9/11, he knew it was going to postpone that Weezer album.
He hates Weezer.
Shit. Unforeseen consequences. Good night.